Morning, friends and family of GCVCR. How's everyone doing? Good. Okay, we're actually embarking on a new book. Today we're going to do more of an introduction, okay? So we finished the book of Ruth. We're going to do the book of 2 Timothy for the next couple months from now. And 2 Timothy is interesting because the entire theme of the book is about endurance. Okay, endurance that lasts. And I looked up the meaning for endurance. And the meaning for endurance means the ability to withstand suffering and pain and hardship. So that's the definition of endurance. So someone who can withstand suffering and pain for long extended of time. Okay, and I think all of us need that, right? We run the race many times and we just kind of lack endurance and we fall off to the side. And so 2 Timothy will be a great book for us to study because it teaches us what is endurance. How do we endure? What are some ways that we can practice in our lives to practice endurance? And we're going to go all through that for the next couple months, and I hope that you stay with us and come every Sunday. But remember, the meaning for endurance is being able to withstand pain, right? Pain and suffering for a long duration of time. Anyone know what this is? Lego? Okay. Anyone ever stepped on a Lego before? Yeah? Talk about pain. I would equate like stepping on a Lego to a second only before like childbirth, all right? So, ladies who have gone through childbirth, this is like second only to that. But stepping on Lego, man, it is hard. It's painful, right? And so I read an article this past week. It was part of the Guinness Book of Records. So apparently this past week, someone broke the record for endurance. And the record that they broke for endurance is the farthest walking on Lego bricks barefoot. Okay, I don't know why this guy wanted to demonstrate that he had this endurance, but I step on one Lego brick and like stuff that comes out of my mouth are things I can't say at church. But this guy, you know, he chose to walk along a path that's just filled with Lego bricks. And I want us to see the video of it. So they're going to put that video up, but I want you to see, especially this guy's like body language. I want you to look at his facial expressions because he's going through an endurance test, right? This is to test whether he can endure walking through the whole path without quitting. And so if someone can turn off the lights so that we can watch this, it's a very short clip, but I want us to pay attention to his body language, his endurance, things that he says or shouts out, and also pay attention to his friends around him on how they're kind of shouting him on as he's taking this test of endurance.
Farthest distance walking on Lego bricks barefoot. Loose Lego bricks must be used, and they must be evenly distributed throughout the walk. When the attempter has completed their attempt, I will measure the distance at the heel of their further back foot.
Let's go, Dimitri! Break the record!
Dimitri, are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Let's go, D! I know him, guys.
He wants to walk in the park.
I know him.
Come on, D.
Stretch.
Oh, with the arms.
Amen. Right.
With the arms.
Amen.
With the arms.
Amen. I love it.
That's my best friend.
Oh, he's looking good. Oh, he's getting a little wobbly. Oh.
It's like a walk in the park. It's like a walk in a park made of glass.
You got this. Don't fall. Take your time. Good. Yes.
Okay. Okay, that one felt good.
He's having a great time.
Come on,
that one felt real good.
All right.
I like the way that one felt.
The swag on the upper
right. Can you see that? Oh,
wait a minute.
Wait
a minute. It fell a little bit.
Hey. Take your time.
It's slippery.
It's
slippery.
Take your time, D.
This is my time. I'm taking my time right now. This is my time.
You're good? You're good?
Oh, gosh. All right.
How do you feel?
You're almost done.
This is the current world record right here.
You gotta break the record.
This is the current world record.
Here we go. Woo!
was a lot of commotion. And guess what? He didn't just go through that one time. He went through that 9 times. All right, that's a quarter of a mile. So I know someone is going to try this at home today. They're going to go back. They're going to like start walking on it, training for endurance and trying to break this record. So if you can walk on Lego bricks barefoot for more than a quarter of a mile, then you can get your name into the Guinness Book of Records. But the reason I show us that book is, you know, that video is, think about Dimitri, okay? What's going through his mind as he's walking on Lego bricks? He's probably thinking, oh my gosh, this hurts so much. I should just stop right now. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. Did you guys see his body language? He's going like, because it's really painful. And so life is like walking on Lego bricks. If you can burn that into your mind, all right? Life is like walking on Lego bricks. You don't know when you're going to step on a Lego brick. It's going to be painful, really, really painful. And that's not just the first Lego brick you're going to step on. In fact, for most of your life, you're going to be stepping on bricks after bricks after bricks after bricks. And it's going to be very, very painful. And so the question we want to ask is, how can I go through life and be able to walk on these bricks and be able to endure till the end, right? And not be able to just fall off on the side and say, man, I quit. This is it. I don't want to deal with life anymore. I don't want to deal with whatever problems I'm dealing with. And I just drop off to the side, get myself into a hole, and say, this is it. This has real life applications to us because every day we walk on bricks. And some people quit, some people last till the end. Like, how do some people get through the end of their life and say, I have endured? How is it that we see other people just fall off to the side and they quit, right? Those are real questions we want to ask because they make a huge difference in how we live our lives. And that's where 2 Timothy is going to get into. It's going to show us how God wants us to live a life that is full of endurance. In fact, in 2 Timothy 4:8, it really sums up the message of the book. It says, and this is Paul talking, it says, I've fought a good life, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. And that really is the theme of this book. How do we be able to last through our life in such a way that we can say the same words as Paul, saying, man, you know, I got into the fight in life and I fought a good fight. I ran this life and I finished it. And I, while I was doing all that stuff, I kept the faith, right? Paul could say that because when he was writing this letter to Timothy, it's literally the end of his life. He's in prison in Rome right now. He knows he's going to be executed. And so this is the last letter that Paul wrote. And that's the situation that he's in. He knows he's at the end, but he also knows that he has endured till the end. And that's what we want to learn from this letter, is how do we learn to endure? How do we learn to step on bricks but yet keep going on? Right? Those are the questions that are legitimate. And for me particularly as a pastor, and I know a lot of parents here, or even you see your friends, you know, you see your kids or your friends or your family members just give up, right? A lot of them just don't want to go through life. A lot of them just fall off to the side. And you look at them, you're like, how do I help someone like that? You know, I'm still enduring, but my friend, my parents, they're not. My kids, how do I help them move on? How do I pick them back up so they can get on this race and endure till the end? And those are the things that we're going to unpack for the next couple months as we jump into 2 Timothy. Why did Paul write something like that to Timothy? That's a legitimate reason. If we read the book of 2 Timothy, you see places in there where Timothy's kind of wavering, right? He's known Paul for more than 10 years. He's been the pastor of the church in Ephesus for about 5 years. It's a brand new church plant. But during these 5 years, a lot have happened. Timothy himself, he's a little burnt out, so he's having difficulty enduring. Not only that, the empire, the Roman Empire, was King Nero. And so Nero was doing an empire-wide persecution of Christians. Christians were getting imprisoned, they were put on the stake, they were crucified, and so a lot of crazy, really horrible things were happening to Christians. And so if you came out and say you're a Christian, you could literally be arrested and killed. And so a lot of Christians back then were also starting to fall away. And we're going to see that when Paul writes to Timothy, he's like, man, that guy abandoned me, that guy abandoned me, that guy fell away. And so there's a lot of persecution going on. And so as a Christian, it was a very dangerous time. And Timothy was also having to deal a lot with just church things, right? People having issues, administrative things, stuff like that. And so with all these things combined, Timothy is starting to feel tired. And so Paul writes this letter to encourage him on and say, Timothy, stay in the fight, stay in the race. This is how you endure. And so Paul basically tells Timothy, these are all the different ways, things that you would do so that you can fight the fight and endure till the last. And that's the kind of stuff that we have to look forward to, which I'm very excited about. Because it shows us, right? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I just look at life, I'm like, I just don't want to get out of bed this morning because I don't want to like face what's going on in front of me. I have no endurance. And so during those times, how do I get myself out of bed? That's a legitimate question. Or I see, you know, people at church and they're falling off. And I ask myself the question, how do I help them come back? Because I know they're struggling. So those are legitimate questions that 2 Timothy will help us think through. So I want to give us some picture of how to picture 2 Timothy. And it's from the book of Exodus. So this is what I want to show you is this picture. This is from 2 Exodus. And it's going to show us that there are really two key ingredients in people who are successful in enduring life. Okay, and the two big ingredients are, first, God has to be in there. If you don't have God, you're not going to last. And the second one is, you got to be around God's people. If you don't have God's people around you, you're not going to last. And so as we unpack 2 Timothy, we're going to see these two big themes, all right? God is front and center, God's people front and center. And this particular passage is a really graphic one. It's really awesome. It's from Exodus 17. So Exodus 17, verse 8 through 13. You might be familiar with this passage. This is, you see Moses, the guy in the red, he's sitting there with his arms stretched out. Then you got Hur, the guy wearing blue on his right, and you got Aaron, which is the priest, he's on his left, and they're holding up his arms. And then right at there at the bottom is a bunch of people fighting. And so let me just give some context as to what is going on here, because this is a great picture, a mental picture for us to think about when we think endurance. So this is in Exodus where the Israelites have exited Egypt, right? So there were slavery, all kinds of suffering, and God took the Israelites, delivered them out of Egypt. But they're still traveling. They haven't gotten to the promised land in Canaan yet. And so this is right in between when they're traveling. And this group of people called the Amalekites, they show up and they start attacking the Israelites, okay? So this is what's going on. Let me read that passage to you. And this shows us the principles of endurance. Exodus 17, verse 8 through 13. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him. He sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with a sword. This is such a great story. Who here goes to the gym? Anyone? Okay, a couple people. When you go to the gym and you do like hand kind of classes, I can only probably last like 30 minutes and my hands feel like jello and it gets super sore the next day. This is Moses. Moses is like in his late 90s, probably 100 years old by then. He's an old dude, and he has to hold his hands up till, it says here, till sunset, right? So literally for almost a whole day, he's got to hold his hands up. Because if he doesn't, then the Israelites are going to lose. And I think this is where the principle of having God and God's people really shines. Think about it. Do you guys think the Israelites would have lost? No, they would have never lost. Because God had made them a promise. He said, I will get you to the land that I've promised you, and I will help you have victory over all your enemies. Right? So there shouldn't be any question in our mind whether in this battle, if the Israelites were going to win or not. And this is why in Ephesians 3:20-21, it says this, now to him meaning God Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, so we are like Moses. We will fail. Our arms are going to get weak. We're going to go old. We're going to get tired. There is no way we can hold our arms up for the rest of our lives. That's just the reality. And God comes along and say, I am able to do immeasurable. Immeasurable means infinite. God has no limitation to what he does. And so God being in the picture, we should always have confidence. Right, that's the first one, just having God in the picture because he is immeasurable. Secondly, it's God's people. You'll notice here, if Moses was the only guy by himself on the hilltop, they would have never won. But he had Aaron and Hur by his side, and they were carrying his arms. Anyone ever like held someone's limp arms before? It's really, really heavy, okay? Sometimes Winnie's like, ah, take your arm away from me because it's super heavy. But these two guys, they held up Moses' arms for hours and hours till sunset. Moses by himself would have never been able to endure. But because God was in the picture, because God's people were in the picture, the Israelites had victory. So this ought to give us a picture of 2 Timothy, of where we're going. So the question we want to ask ourselves today is, do you really want to learn how to have a life that's characterized by endurance? Well, number one, you got to have God in the picture. Is Christ Jesus part of your life? Is he central in your life? If Christ Jesus isn't central in your life, well, guess what? You're going to have a hard time enduring what life is going to throw at you. Are God's people in your life? Are you part of a local church? Are you in a small group? Because if you're not, guess what? You're not going to be able to handle life. So you got to have God and you got to have God's people surrounding you for you to be able to walk through a life that's full of Lego bricks. So that's the good news, and that's what we get to go forward to. So here's the call off for action. In your bulletin, you should have this. If you don't have it, we have more at the back. And so this is the challenge for us this morning. We look at this story and we see how God is crucial and how God's people is critical to a life of endurance. Because the reality is, none of us are built for endurance. We're going to fail. It's just not a matter of if we will fail or not. It's just a matter of when are we going to fail. Every single one of us are going to fail. So here's the challenge. On the left side, you'll see whose arm can you help lift up. Okay, so you're taking on the character of Aaron and Hur. And I want you to think about people around you as Moses. All right, Moses' arms are getting tired. He can't hold it up anymore. So who are these people in your life that you need to go help hold up their arms? And I'm going to pitch for you five people that you ought to be deliberately considering. These are the five that just got baptized last Sunday during Easter. And you got Kejie and Hanping there. You got Samuel, Michael, and Eric. So these folks are brand new in their faith. These folks have no endurance, all right? They haven't gone through a life of having Christ as the center in their life. And I can guarantee you at some point they're going to fall and fail. So they need every single one of you to be an Aaron and a Hur to them, to look at them as Moses and say, their arms are failing. I need to go help hold their arms up. I don't know what you can do. Invite them for dinner, teach their classes, hang out with them, invite them to your small group, give them a book to read, something that you can do to help prop them up so that they can have endurance in this race. And I had a blank one right there just called Moses. I don't know who else in your life right now that you see failing. I bet you if you look around, there are a lot of people who are failing, they're not enduring. Write just one name on there and be deliberate about reaching out to this person this week. And on the right, it says, who will lift up your arms? Okay, not everyone is enduring. Some people are crashing and burning. And so if you are in that situation right now, just know that if you stay by yourself, you're going to crash and burn. And so God needs to be in your picture, and you need people like Aaron and Hur. So who are those two people in your life right now where you can go to them and just say, man, I can't lift my arms up. You know, I'm very, very tired. I can't do this anymore. So who are those two people in your life right now that you can just go to them and say, I need your help, man. My arms are tired. Can you help hold my arms up? And so that is your challenge for this week. So let me close this up in prayer, and then I'm going to invite Michael, who's going to come up to share his baptism testimony, and we also have Alicia right here. She's going to talk about what's going on in her world with missions. And so let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the book of 2 Timothy, Lord, for a very timely letter, I think, for our church, God. Many of us are starting to run that race, and many of us have been in that race for a while, God, and we fully recognize and realize that we are incapable of enduring life. There's so many things going on in our lives where we just cannot handle. And God, I thank you, Lord, for your message through 2 Timothy, Lord, as we go through this in the next couple months, Lord, for your words of encouragement, for your words of just showing us, Lord, that you desire us to finish the race. You desire us, Lord, to fight a good fight. You desire us to keep the faith, and for you to reveal those to us over the next couple weeks, God, as we begin to unpack 2 Timothy. And so we give you praises for today. We lift up Michael and Alicia, God, as they come up here to share things that you've done in their lives. We pray that you bless them, that you surround them with people who can run with them along this race to help them with their endurance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.